Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Going to welcome in one of my favorite Twitter followers. Good dude. Even though he doesn't like my choice in beer, because when we were up at Fenway Park, I think it was like a year ago, he was destroying me for ordering Amstel Light. I still like him nonetheless. Even though, you know, his fandom could be questioned. Let's welcome in from Barstool Sports, Section 10, Starting 9. I mean, the guy's got so many gigs, I don't know how to keep track. Let's welcome in our buddy, Jared Karavas. Karavas, what up, bro? How you doing, man?
JJ, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've talked. What's going on?
Karavas, how you hanging in, man? I mean, it was a weird year. How weird was it for you as a guy who's spending, you know, his whole summer, some falls, up at Fenway Park, to not be, like, dialed in and to not have live baseball to go and see?
It was miserable. I mean, I think it was different in a way where, you know, I think it was a chance for me to kind of really hone in on the whole league instead of just the Red Sox. I mean, before, under normal circumstances, like you said, I mean, I was going to Fenway on the weekends. We'd have the press passes. We'd go in the dugout. We'd interview players. And then we'd go to the games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But now it's like, I got the chance to move back home, so I got my six TV setup going, and I got six games going all night from 7 p.m. to 1:30 in the morning. So I was pretty much watching every single baseball game every single night, which is not possible if you're attending one baseball game. So it was really a chance to get honed in on everything that was going on. So in that sense, there was a silver lining.
Okay, who is the team for you, Karavas, that you couldn't wait to watch? There had to be one, right? Like, who is the team, when you're setting up the six TVs in the cave, where you're like, man, I can't wait to watch this given team on this given night? Who would it be?
San Diego Padres. They were so fun to watch. And yes, that, like, I may have some bias because part of that is, Don Arcillo is excellent on their broadcast. So it kind of just lined up perfectly where, you know, I got, like, the main TV, and then there's, like, three other TVs on the side and then two on the top. Like, the big TV was the prime real estate. And around 10 o'clock when those West Coast games started, the Padres got the big TV treatment more often than not. And I'm a big Tatis guy. I've kind of come around on Machado. I mean, I still...
Oh, really, bro? You're killing me, man. You're killing me. Maybe I'm just happy he's not a Yankee, to be honest with you, Jared. He had a great... personality is a little tough to...
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not the model of character that you'd want to teach to younger players, but, I mean, you can't deny the talent.
I get that. Now, you spent some time with Bauer and with Bieber, which looked awesome, by the way. I was very, very jealous. I was living vicariously through you. Must be nice. Arizona, sunshine. I think you were in Arizona. It looked like Arizona.
I was.
But it was Arizona. Bauer, he's a different kind of cat. He had a killer season. He's getting ready to cash in at the right time. From spending some time with him, what do you get the sense is his number one priority as we move closer and closer to free agency?
I think he has a number of priorities. And I don't think, I mean, it really is like a 1B, 1C type situation, and I don't know how I would necessarily power rank them. I know that he has multiple factors that are all important to him. I think he wants to win a World Series. number one. I think he wants to go somewhere. I don't think he wants to be part of a rebuilding process. I think he wants to be plugged into a system that's ready to win a championship in 2021 and beyond. So that's number one. I think obviously money. And I know that, he's come out and said that, there's no beef with Gerrit Cole, but from an ego standpoint, I would imagine that if it's possible, he would like to break the Cole AAV record, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it's all 1 year, like say there's one team that's like, hey, we're kind of going for it in 21, like let's give you 1 year 40 or something like that. I don't think he's breaking Cole's AAV record over a multi-year deal. But if there's a team bold enough to say, here's 1 year 40, let's go for it, that's on the table. And I think market is also important to him. I think he wants to, he really cares about his brand. He cares about momentum and his content. So, Arizona spring training factors in because he's going to want to go somewhere where he can still make content during spring training. And I can speak from personal experience that it's really difficult to do that in Florida for spring training. So those factors, I mean, he's going to want to be surrounded by stars because that elevates him. I think he wants to be in a market where there's eyeballs, and I think he wants to win a championship right away.
You get the sense, Jared, he's got the sort of personality that can handle the scrutiny of pitching in a New York or a Boston, one of these like big, major, intense type of markets, if you will. You know, like LA is a big media market. It's not an intense baseball market. You could go chill there. You could relax there. You know the deal, being up in Boston. You've seen it here in New York. Can Bauer handle that sort of scrutiny?
I think he can handle the scrutiny because I think that, the way that if he were able to extrapolate his 2020 performance over a full season, then there's not much to scrutinize unless you just don't like his antics on the mound, which I don't think, like you mentioned New York, but you didn't name a team. I think it plays with the Mets. I don't think it plays with the Yankees. And that, I'm sure there's people listening like, oh, of course, the Boston guy doesn't think that Bauer fits with the Yankees.
No, you're right about that. You're 1,000% right about that. I got your back on this. I don't see Bauer fitting in with the Yankee and that brand. The Mets, he fits in, bro. I totally agree.
For sure. And, you look at the Yankees, and it's like they've had characters. And I think over the last, call it, 3-4 years, they've allowed the players on that team to show emotion and not be these robots where, you're told to – have your hair cut a certain length and shave your face and this and that, and we're all buttoned up. I mean, there's been some undoing of that. I mean, you definitely, they still have the hair thing, which I think is bizarre, by the way, for a baseball team to tell someone who can have what type of hairstyles and facial hair. But
I think the beard is even worse, Jared. I mean, the beard's not being able to have a beard. That's so outdated. It's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to go.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, that's what George wanted. And since his passing, like that's our way of honoring George. And it's like, all right, well, at some point you need to move on because it's very stupid. But I think, would he, I mean, if the Yankees say, hey, we'll give you 1 year, $40 million, we're going for it next year. Yeah. I'm sure that he would reel back the antics to go there and win a championship if they're going to pay him that. But I don't think that that's in their offseason plans. I think that they would be more reasonable about it. And I just don't necessarily think it's a fit for him. I mean, the Yankees, of course, would love to have a guy that just won the Cy Young Award. I mean, that's, they go out and get Gerrit Cole. That's not enough. You get eliminated in the division series. So how do you do that? Oh, you go out and get another guy. And these guys were teammates in college. Everyone knows that backstory. I just don't know. Because, the other thing, too, is that I think Yankee fans are kind of like, the younger Yankee fans, the ones that didn't grow up watching Jeter win championships in the 90s, I think that they like that Bauer stuff. Like, I think it's more of like an old school Yankee mentality to be like, we're the Yankees, we're buttoned up. I feel like there are a lot of younger Yankee fans that are kind of into what Bauer is up to and what he's all about.
We got Jared Karavas, Barstool Sports. I love his stuff, love his content, despite, the flawed perspective in rooting teams and rooting interest. I still like him.
I root for all 30.
Jared, the Mets. Well, listen, that's what you say. That's what you say. It's okay. I know what you're doing there, pal. I love you, but I know what you're doing. Mets, they're going to spend a ton of money. It's no secret, right? You know it. I know it. Cohen's coming to town. He's looking to take names. He's looking to kick ass. Jared, I allow you to be the Met GM. And we're talking trades and we're talking free agency. The big guys that are out there. And I tell GM Jared Karavas, okay, he can go and bring in two of the free agent group, of the trade group, who would you go get if you're the Mets?
I think Bauer's the obvious one. You know, you go out and you give him what he's looking for, and I know that he's talked about the one-year thing, but I think that there's a way to make it work on a multi-year deal, so it's not just a, you know, we're going all in on one season type deal. I don't think that they need to do that. And then I think you go and get Lindor. You know, Springer's an attractive option. JT Realmuto is an attractive option. I think he's the best position player that's available. You know, with Springer, you're talking about age, you're talking about injury history, you're talking about not having some of the benefits that he might have had in Houston. So I think with Lindor, you're getting a young guy who could be, you have a lot of potential faces of the franchise, like with Alonso and Conforto and DeGrom. I mean, there's names on that Mets team, but you go out and you get a guy like Lindor and you pay him to stay beyond just the years of control that you've acquired. Like, that's a statement, because it's a double whammy, right? Like, you're going out and you're getting a franchise cornerstone piece, and then you're saying, like, kind of like what the Dodgers did with Mookie Betts. Not only are you going out and giving up assets to acquire them, but now you're saying, hey, you haven't played a game for us. We know how good you are. We're going to compensate you in a way that the Indians never even considered doing. So those are the two things that I would do, but it's easier said than done.
How much did it bother you watching Betts all year with the Dodgers?
It did and it didn't. I mean, like, it bothered me in the sense that it never should have happened, but, like, you know, there's no resentment towards Mookie. You know, I think you look at him as a guy that, you know, he's the best player in baseball, not named Mike Trout. And, you know, he found a team that wanted to compensate him in that way. And, you know, there were rumors that the Red Sox made a similar offer to what the Dodgers did. No one ever confirmed that, but, you know, he found a place that he wanted to be, and, you know, they paid him, and it worked out. I mean, he wins a championship in his first year there. So I'm happy for Mookie. I'm sad for myself.
I get that. I would be too. That's a guy I'd want to watch, you know, from start to finish. And I thought, to be honest with you, Jared, he would be a guy that start to finish would be with the Red Sox. I want to get to your team, though. What is their plan, you think, for the offseason? We know Bloom, Tampa model, not looking to spend crazy money, perhaps, but the Red Sox got a whole lot of needs. There's obviously a desire to be far more competitive than what they were last year, and they made a no-brainer move, by the way, in bringing your manager back in Alex Cora. And anybody who had a problem with Alex Cora coming back, do yourself a favor, take a lap. I mean, it's just not worth even discussing, to be honest with you, bro. But when it comes to the Red Sox, what is your sense for what they're going to do here in the offseason?
First of all, I think the only people that had a problem with Alex Cora coming back to Boston were people that celebrated that a championship manager had left one of their rival teams, and then they looked like idiots being like, ha-ha, you lost your manager, and then he comes back a year later. So that's why they didn't want him back, is because now they look stupid. But as far as offseason plans go, I think we can both acknowledge that this is not a one-year fix for this team. I think it's more of a, you know, you take one step here, one step there. And I kind of looked at this offseason as a way to sort of maybe take advantage of less fortunate teams, because, you know, everyone made fun of the Red Sox for not being able to keep Mookie Betts and sign him because of luxury tax issues. Well, now because of COVID and luxury tax issues, there are plenty of other teams that are facing the same problem that the Red Sox did. But now the Red Sox can spend. They have the money and they have the need at different positions. So might the Red Sox be able to get creative? Well, they have to. They have to get creative, because in the free agent market, you know, we mentioned what are some of the things that Trevor Bauer is looking to do. I mean, the Red Sox probably can't offer him the things that he's looking for in terms of, you want to win right now, can't do that. Arizona spring training, can't do that. They have the market, they have the money. So, I mean, there's some fits there, but it's not perfect. So I think that they're going to have to get creative. And, you know, Blake Snell was a name that came up. And do I think that that's going to happen? No. I highly doubt the Rays would want to trade one of their best starting pitchers within the division. But it's things like that that they're going to have to explore. It's teams that are either small market, that have players that are coming up on the heavier ends of their contracts, or it's teams like the Cubs. I know Chris Bryant was a name because the Cubs are one of those teams now that have financial issues and they don't want to pay. I mean, they tendered Chris Bryant a contract, so he's probably going to make about like $20 million, around there, $20, $21 million. But they don't want to pay him that. So could you swoop in and get a Chris Bryant? I don't think that that's going to happen. But it's something like that, like a Nolan Arenado. I know he's been linked to the Dodgers. But we're just talking examples of teams that are strapped for cash, that have players that are making a lot of money, and these teams either don't want to or simply cannot afford to pay these stars. I think that's where the Red Sox are going to have to come in and be like, let's talk. We'll take this contract off your hands, and we'll throw you a couple assets here so that you don't look stupid.
We got our buddy, the Rocket, Jared Carrabas, Barstool Sports, getting ready for this free agency period that might take a little while to get going in Major League Baseball. It's not like the NBA where it's done in like 48 to 72 hours. Get the sense it's going to take a couple weeks. Dare I say maybe a couple of months. But Jared, for my sanity, I'm telling you right now, it is going to be a very blue Christmas, and I'm going to be sick if DJ LeMahieu is wearing a different uniform. Do you basically look at it as a foregone conclusion that he's going back to the Yankees?
Yeah, I actually tweeted an over-the-top tweet about DJ LeMahieu coming back to the Yankees, and I basically guaranteed it. I know it's down to, if you were to power rank it, it's the Yankees, it's the Mets, it's the Red Sox, but it's like 99% Yankees, and the Mets and the Red Sox can fight over that half percent that's remaining from that equation, because the Yankees have the need and they have the money. I think DJ wants to stay there. You know, this is a guy that, what was he? Was he the runner-up for the MVP? He was second for MVP.
He was either second or third. He was in that top three, close enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, you had him last year and still got eliminated in the division series. So that's not the MVP of your team. That is arguably the MVP of the league. So, yeah, you need to bring that guy back. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, you know, we'll explore our options, and if it fits, it fits. Like, no, if you're the Yankees, you need to bring that guy back. He wants to come back, and they have the money to bring him back. So I think it's kind of like an open and shut case. It's just a matter of figuring out a number that makes sense for both sides.
As you know, Jared, it is self-proclaimed on your Twitter page. You are the unbiased national baseball journalist. Did I get that right? I want to make sure
I got that right. Yep.
I got that right. Very, very good. Mm-hmm. Since you are the unbiased national baseball journalist, Yankees, they've been really good the last few years. They haven't been good enough. They make the playoffs. They fall short in the playoffs. What do you think, as you are the unbiased national baseball journalist, has been a missing ingredient from that team being good but not good enough?
It's a good question, and I know that like the first name that came to my mind is, and this is, it's not a one player fix. It's almost like a mindset fix. They need professional hitters. Like Michael Brantley was the name that came to my mind, because a lot has been made about the Yankees rotation and their bullpen is phenomenal. I know that Chapman has not been phenomenal in the postseason, and he's been on the losing end of the last couple of postseason exits for the Yankees, but you take Chapman, you roll the dice, you have Britton, you have guys back there that can deal. And then 2019, 2020, people were talking about the rotation. You know, what are you going to get out of Tanaka? And guys like Jordan Montgomery coming into 2020, like, what are you going to get out of him? And it wasn't very much. And Paxton and the Hap and guys like that. I think it's more along the lines of when you look at that 2019 series against the Astros and people are wondering, you know, is this rotation going to be able to stack up? It was the offense. Like, you just had your best hitters go dark in the postseason, and you can't have that happen. And you know that Giancarlo Stanton had a huge series and he busted out and he basically carried the offense in the division series this year. But you just have guys that you've depended on to get you there all year, and they carry you to the postseason. And then once you get to the postseason, it's like, all right, where are they at? And it was the offense that we were looking at in 2019 being like, that's why the Yankees didn't go to the World Series. It had nothing to do with the pitching, really. So it's more guys like that. It's guys like DJ LeMahieu that they found off the scrap heap in Colorado. It was like, you know, we got Gleyber Torres, we got Didi, and we have Miguel Andujar, so I guess we can maybe find a spot for this DJ LeMahieu guy, and then he becomes the best player on the team. So it's guys like that where you can plug them into any situation, and you know that they're just going to be consistently good at the plate. that's kind of what they've been lacking in the postseason, is guys that just grind out at bats. Like, you have too many guys in that lineup that are strikeout machines, and that's not going to play in October when you're going up against the best of the best on the other side. And these guys are big-time strikeout pitchers that are going up against your big-time strikeout hitters.
I knew I liked Carrabba's because he basically read my mind. It's what I've been screaming about with the Yankees, dude, over the last couple of years. So I'm glad that we're on the same wavelength on something. I'm glad. I'm very, very happy to hear that. Final one here. And I appreciate the time, dude.
Of course.
Your podcast, you guys have been killing it with some of the guests you've gotten, whether it's, you know, the one-on-ones, you're hanging with Bieber and Bauer. You guys have made your mark in the baseball world. So, Jared, I know to pick one individual baseball player for you is probably going to be really, really tough. But, like, over the last year, two, 3 years, that, like, one-on-one interaction, if there's one that you've enjoyed maybe the most out of any, what would it be?
So, I mean, the Bryce Harper interview was fascinating to me because right before we did it, I, like, searched my own Twitter for his name to see when the first time was that I tweeted about him, and it was 2010. So I had been following him since he was 17 years old. And, I mean, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 16, so it's not like I discovered a diamond in the rough. Like, we knew he was a big deal around that time. But to see how his career has evolved, and I mean, he's a pretty private guy. Like, so that interview that he did with us, we were supposed to go down to Florida for spring training. I think our flight was on a Wednesday, and we had to cancel the trip because of COVID. And then that Friday, 2 days later, was when they sent all the players home from spring training. So originally we were teasing, you know, the biggest starting nine interview that we've ever had. And it was Bryce. And if everything had planned out the way it was supposed to, we would probably have maybe gotten a half an hour, 40 minutes at best with Bryce if we had done a face-to-face during spring training with his schedule. But because we were able to get him during quarantine, we got him for 2 hours. And he said afterwards, it was almost like a soul cleansing for him because he had never opened up about his career from the teenage years to the minor league days to getting drafted, to coming up with the Nationals, leaving the Nationals, signing with the Phillies, all that stuff, the Nationals winning the World Series. He had never gone on the record in a complete and thorough discussion about all of it. So it was cool. It was almost like a piece of baseball history. Like, this is, like, right now, like, he may not be the best player in baseball, but he's probably the biggest name. I mean, people know that. He can walk down the street in New York City, people are going to know that that's Bryce Harper. People know the name Bryce Harper. So that interview was by far my favorite. But if there's one person that I could just sit down and interview with zero prep and interview him 20 times and every single interview would be good, it's Christian Yelich. Like, that's a dude that's like, you know, I've known him since he was like maybe a year or two after he got drafted by the Marlins. We followed each other on Twitter and we've kind of just been friends ever since, like, his early days. And then just by chance, you know, he blows up and he's the MVP in 2018. So it's been cool to be along for the ride with him because that's a dude that super humble, but crazy talented. And those conversations with him are always easy. Like, I don't think I've ever prepped for an interview with him. I've just gone in and we've just, you know, whatever comes to mind, that's what we end up talking about. And people go crazy for the Yelich interviews.
Jared, this is awesome, dude. I'm glad you're doing well. Keep the interviews coming, man. I need content, bro. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I will see you at Fenway Park next year, and I'll be buying a couple of drinks. Maybe you get me an Amstel Light or two, and, you know, give me crap for it. You like
the
sound of that?
I'll have an Amstel Light with you. Just
I like it. See, you miss being out with people, even somebody like me that much, that it would force you to actually drink, you know, a little bit of a bougier bar when I'm up in Boston, dude, you know?
Let me in on a little secret before I get out of here. So on my 21st birthday, one of the gifts that I got was a box of Amstel Light bottles. That was okay. My 21st birthday. So I'm not totally out on it. It was just a wild choice to make at a bar. It's just like, oh, Amstel Light. Okay. All right. I see you.
It goes down easy. I was feeling it that next day on the plane, though, Jared. No comment.
I feel
there.
You. We're getting old.
We are getting old, and it was a rough night. Yankee lost. I needed a couple of cocktails, bro. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, ton of fun. Keep up the good work, all right?
You too, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
That's the great Rocket. I mean, I love that guy. Jared Karavas. I can talk baseball with him for hours. For hours. And listen, he's a Boston guy. He likes to needle Yankee fan a little bit. Yeah, I have a sense of humor. They do some great work over there, let me tell you. Great work. I mean, some of the insight they get with the players. They're getting Harper for 2 hours. They get Voit. They get this guy. They get that guy. Big fans of what they do over there. I know it's rubs some people the wrong way, but you know what? They're good at what they do. Give credit where credit is, though.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.